Well, good evening and welcome to Bayside Adventures. And I first got to start off by saying I didn't actually drive my Nissan Navara here. I just walked outside and blew here with the wind. Because this is beyond a joke. How are you, Dean?
Good, mate. How are you?
Now, we got a special guest here today.
We do.
Theo, you well?
One of my absolute besties. How are you, bud?
Very well, thanks.
Theo Razakis.
G'day to all the listeners
M1
out there.
Marine.
How are you, boys?
Good, now, mate. How you going?
Very well, thank you. It's nice good. And warm in here. It's better than outside.
You're looking well.
Welcome
thanks,
aboard.
Guys.
Looking really well. Sharp haircut. Do you reckon he looks like Elvis?
Always looks
I actually
smart,
watched
mate.
An Elvis Presley movie the other day. It was Blue Hawaii. You know that one? One of his best. See, I watched it all. It was great. It was
before Charlie.
Well, you just went to Hawaii.
Yes, I did.
And it was interesting to see the infrastructure of Hawaii, how there was nothing there.
Yeah,
this was made in 1962.
Yeah. So you've just come back from Hawaii,
no,
too?
I just got back from Hawaii, yeah.
Love
but,
Hawaii.
But look, we're having a bit of a joke about it, but seriously, it does affect a lot of things. And we've got a person sitting next to us that sells boats.
Yep.
You sell your cars.
Yep.
I'm a charter operator.
Yep.
And we've got things like petrol and food and accommodation. And for the last 9 weeks now, I've been going on the boat ramp and it's been dead. So not good for the peninsula at all.
Mm. Peninsula normally gets a bit quiet this time of the year anyway, and this is just sort of topping it off.
Not this quiet, though.
This is adding to... But in saying that, the freeway has opened up access and an avenue to make the peninsula somewhere where a lot more people are starting to reside. Would that be a fair comment, boys?
Yeah, absolutely, but it's still been windy for 9 weeks.
Yeah, but boys, when you're sitting in your office and you actually see boats roll outside your front doors on your trailers because of the wind, you know, that's really a sign. It's a telltale sign that you just don't get anywhere near the water.
I have to say, I've actually been out to the staff 3 or 4 times, I reckon, in the last month and said, don't put the flags out today because I don't fancy collecting them from Lang Warren, you know.
It's a little bit like your drone. With this wind, it's been
you
around.
Heard my drone
it's been
stories.
To Greece.
No. What drone?
It's been to Greece, to Italy, Malta.
I'll tell you.
And coming back. It's coming back now with
when
the wind.
When we get a second.
So, it's a fantastic
It's on its way to Japan or Korea or wherever. I'll tell you. It's a laugh, mate.
Now, we've got our boat show coming up and we'll talk to Theo about how he gets prepared for it. But first, he's just come back from New Zealand.
He has come back from New Zealand.
So tell us about the boat show, mate.
Yeah, well, I went over there with Stephen Potts, who is the CEO of the BIA, and we decided to go over there on BIA business to see how the Hutch Wilco Boat Show, how it fares up, because it has a vast reputation of being one of the best shows on the boat show circuit. When I say the boat show circuit, I'm talking about the best shows in Australasia. That's Hutch Wilco, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane, and also Sanctuary Cove, which is on this weekend. So this is my first time that I'd been to the Hutch Wilco Boat Show, and I've got to tell you, boys, it was a real eye opener. Mm. Charlie, you've exhibited, and so have you, Dean, with your Jeeps and your Nissans and Suzukis and so forth. And Charlie, you've done it with your Savage Seas over at Flemington, right?
Yep.
The Hutch Wilco is the setup is similar to that. It's a main hall and it's got all these other little halls. And it's a little bit of a rabbit warren, whereas, you know, you go in and try and work out where you are, but it is chock-a-block full of the best aluminium and fiberglass boats and also ribs that New Zealand has to offer. And I tell you now, you know, coming back from there, you just sort of myself as a business owner who basically concentrates on the New Zealand product, all it's done is that it's enforced for me why I actually sell the brands that I do, which are Surtees and Stabycraft.
Mm.
They are magnificent boats. Kiwis are exceptional boat builders.
But why is that? Because obviously they're around water, you know, an island like us. But
you know what? Let me ask you something. Why are Japanese great at electronics? Why do Italians make great suits?
Just one of those things. That's just
they are just great builders.
Yeah.
And their level of quality and their level of boat building expectation is up here. Mm. And unfortunately, you know, when you think about, you know, New Zealand's not a big country. I mean, they've got about 3 million people, which is about Melbourne's population.
Yeah.
But everywhere you go in New Zealand, you are surrounded by some of the most stunning coastline. And if anyone wants to know what New Zealand looks like, there's actually a show on history every Monday night on the History Channel on Foxtel, which is about New Zealand. And this Monday they just passed. They had Hicks Bay and they had the Bay of Plenty. The week before that, they showed the fjords down the bottom. And if you think of Sydney Harbour and Botany Bay and think about how stunning it is, well, New Zealand is all like that. The whole coast of New Zealand has that, and the fishing is mecca over there. Everything's on steroids.
You're telling me about a little kid at the pier. Tell the listeners about that.
Oh, this is we're to the harbour, and if you can think of Melbourne is Docklands, Sydney Darling Harbour, and I went there and we had a great lunch. We took out some people, customers of ours and so forth. And on the way back, there was this kid fishing, just off the jetty. And he was like cutting up fish and he was burling up. And we're talking big chunks of fish. I said, mate, what are you doing? He goes, I'm burling up. And I said, what are you burling up with? He goes, I caught these snapper last week. Now, like over there, snapper's like the rat of the sea. They're overrun by snapper. And I said, mate, what are you hoping to get? And he goes, well, there's some massive kings here and they were just smashing up some sprats. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, really? And not that I didn't believe him, but because New Zealand's like that. And as I was talking to him, mate, I looked down and there was flashes of this white and yellowish, they would have been meter fish. Wow. Just like swimming in there and just darting across.
This is
right in the middle of the harbour, mate.
Yeah.
And right in the docks where all the ships come in and right outside the restaurant as well.
Yeah.
And that is just typical in New Zealand, like they are everywhere you go because it's very volcanic. So you've got a lot of underwater reefs and structure. There's a lot of food source there for them.
So is there bag limits bigger than ours or less than ours?
I've got no bag limits.
I was going to say, what bag limits?
They haven't got bag limits, mate.
So
they've got size limits and they're really strict on that.
Yep.
60 centimetres for a king. And if anything, we're sorry,
I've just flashed a message at him. My wife's listening to the radio, and I've got and I'm going to interrupt you there, and I'm going to give a shout out to my beautiful daughter-in-law, who's in hospital at the moment. She's poor old Paige. She's going through the motions at the moment, but hey, thank God things are getting better for her. Paige, I hope you get well. I miss you, darling. Can't wait till you get home and we get you back. But my wife's just sent me a message saying we're back on and Theo has a really soothing voice. What about my voice, sweetheart? Ooh,
soothing voice. Smooth.
Yeah, very funny. Yeah, well, this is just the radio voice. When I get outside, it gets a bit squeaky and high.
He gets his Greek voice back.
New Zealand, and it's only like a 3.5-hour flight.
So you're saying snapper and plague proportion.
It's the rat of the sea over there. I mean, you go anywhere, you'll catch them. And we're talking... here you get plagued by little pinkies, 20 centimetres and under, but over there you'll get plagued by 30, 35 centimetre stuff,
Continually, yeah. It was.
It's just crazy.
As we discussed off radio last week, I've got to go there. I haven't been there yet, and obviously a person as myself that loves the ocean needs to go there.
I actually want to take my wife just on a holiday, even if I don't fish there. I'd like to take it because it's such a beautiful
place.
You'd
have to go for a month, though, wouldn't you?
Well, not necessarily. Look, and New Zealand, just to those that haven't been, and you, Charlie, for the benefit for yourself and those that haven't been in New Zealand, obviously, New Zealand, you've got North Island, South Island, and the two islands can't be more further apart than one another.
Yeah, very
two
different.
Two totally different, different looks. Mm. One, the North Island's green, rolling hills, sweeping landscapes, awesome coastline. We both got awesome coastline. The southern part of New Zealand has got peaky mountains, snow-covered tops, a little bit more drier, but just beautiful and stunning.
So,
and the people are friendly and
really nice. Where would you suggest to go? Well,
firstly, fishing-wise, you'd go to the North Island and you'd do anything from on the East Coast because everyone goes to the East Coast. The West Coast is even more rugged. It's like the West Coast of Tasmania.
Right.
Everyone goes to the East Coast, the West Coast of Tasmania, because it just cops all that horrendous wind from Antarctica, the West Coasts. So you'd go to the East Coast and you It is fishing, diving, like Mecca.
Yeah, it's Mecca. So you're saying
they're a fair way apart. What are we talking about?
What, the North and South Island?
Yeah.
Oh, like a ferry's 2-hour ferry ride.
Okay.
But you, yeah.
I think just to, when he says a fair way apart, they could not be any more different to each other.
I meant looks-wise, not in terms of distance. The distance between the North and South Island would be similar to what Tasmania is to the
mainland. Yeah, it's not
a
big one.
Okay.
I've been to both the islands myself as well.
I want to go for at least a month. All right, we're still in New Zealand. Yep. I've got some questions.
Yeah, would it be, sorry to interrupt.
It's all right.
Would it be fair to say, and this is my observation, that I reckon 2/3 of the population in New Zealand owns a boat or spends time in the sea?
Just about every male in New Zealand does one or two things. They either fish or they hunt, and most of them do both.
Yeah.
Or go to the rugby league or the union to watch the All Blacks.
That's in the evenings.
They love the All Blacks, bro.
That's fantastic. Choice. What a great lifestyle.
So, they're really big. They really know. You know, another thing that I really took notice, and This is an observation because, as you guys know, I love my seafood and been fishing all my life, and with River to Reef, we try and show people or teach people how to look after their fish.
Yep.
In New Zealand, unlike what, unfortunately, and if you're not one of those fishermen, so those people are listening out there, if you're not one of these fishermen, then you're excluded from this spray. But the New Zealand, the Kiwis over there, as soon as they catch their fish, the first thing they do is they eki it, which is a spike through the back of the brain.
Mm, yeah.
Right? And they put it out. And the second thing they do is they put it in a slurry of salt.
Mm.
Salted slurry. Not fresh water.
Yeah.
Salted slurry goes straight in there. I've been out fishing with a lot of people and they put their fish in the live bait well. And it just sits there and they're swimming around. And these fish are intended to be eaten, not as live bait.
Yeah.
And after a while, they end up bellying up and floating upside down. That is not the way to look after that beautiful, precious protein.
It's the right thing to do. Would it be fair to say also within New Zealand that they obviously look after the fish because they can eat it, but also they have like a religious thing? Do they have
it's got nothing to do with religion.
They have gods of the sea, do they?
No, that's the Maoris.
Yeah.
But the Western Kiwis or the white Kiwis have followed suit.
Yep. Okay.
Right? But they never had fridges. It's just that they have learned to look after their fish right from when they catch it.
Yep. Yeah,
It in a bucket, let it sit out in the sun and boil, and then by the time you get it home, that fish is ruined.
What about catch and release? Are they into that, or it's more catch
they're
and
starting,
eat?
They're starting to get into it, but a lot of them will go out and catch what they can, or 7 or 8 fish and bring it back, or they'll catch 30 fish. And another thing that's legal over there is a long line.
I was going to say, then they'll go back to the beach and wind in their long line.
So they use a thing called a kentucky.
Seen that on River to Reef.
Anyone can go buy one. You don't need a license. You're allowed up to, I think it's 25 hooks, and you shoot this long line from the shore. And now they use a drone. You mentioned about the drone.
Yep.
What's new in New Zealand now is a drone which actually takes your live bait or balloon out, particular drone, then can land and take off from the water. So it drops the balloon out at a distance. So if you're fishing off rocks or off the shore and you're fishing, you want to get into the deep trenches or the channels that go past a rock ledge or anything like that, they now do that. But the kentuckies they use, long line, they bait it up. It's like a miniature little submarine which shoots out about 1.5 kilometres out from shore, and when you go
that
on the line, when you're going out on a beautiful evening, you'll see all these little bonfires all along the beach, just all set up with guys there listening to a bit of music, bonfire, cooking up something, and just sitting there long line out for about an hour or so, and then after that, they then wind it in and they get kawai, which is salmon, and they love it because they do a lot of smoking over there. They obviously get snapper, they get gurnard, which is a prized fish, gurnard fillets, which is the butterfly gurnard that we get out in Bass Strait, not the gurnard that we get inside Port Phillip Bay. Beautiful eating fish. Yep. It's to me, it's one of my favourites. Very sweet.
Sounds great. Now, what's our climate? What's the best time to go climate-wise?
Well, I was there. It's very similar. You would think that the climate of sort of southern New South Wales would be the climate of the North Island. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the South Island, it's colder. You know, you'd sort of think Tassie. Sort of the Tassie climate, because if you look at it geographically on the world map, it's sort of situated. New Zealand, the top of New Zealand's kind of like south of Sydney, and the bottom part of New Zealand sort of is a little bit equal to, I guess, to the bottom of Tassie.
And the weather patterns are very similar. So
very similar.
Yeah, right down south.
Dean and I were doing Riveter Reef over there, and. I got to say, I enjoy it now because I was with you, mate, and we had a ball, and I always enjoy fishing. But getting up every morning and going out to the boat, it was cold, it was windy, it was wet. Wow. Bait was stuck to the side of the boat, and you're trying to clean it, and then you pick up your gloves, and your gloves were wet, and so they were half frozen.
What time of year was that?
That was that January. Yeah. I'm only joking.
No, it was about this
that
time
was
of
about
year.
May. Yeah. It was about okay. May. May. Yeah, it was about May.
But I just want to cast your memory back to one thing.
Yeah.
How cold was it on that mothership?
It was cold.
Stayed on a bed.
Yeah, yeah. I remember at one stage getting up in the morning and Dean was telling me of a story where he was lying in his sleeping bag, and he says that there was one eyeball that was kind of sticking out, and he just made room for one nostril at a time, because each nostril that he put outside would freeze because the ambient temperature got that
bad.
Cold.
It
that
was bad. So cold. Cold.
But however, you were outside under the stars in the beautiful fresh air where I copped the farts and the burping and the snoring inside the mothership. So I reckon I probably would have opted to what you had done.
I remember the show. I remember seeing it.
But
it was a great
like
show.
You said, we did it together, and that was
I mean,
so much fun.
They're just
fun,
memories,
yeah.
And that was fantastic. So,
now getting back to the boat show,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm just curious. Obviously, you've got your New Zealand boats that feature in the show itself. Was there any of our boats, like our local boats, over there?
No, not at all. There was. I saw two small Quintrexes there.
And that's it.
But
your normal fiberglass boats, they weren't there.
They just
no,
don't
the fiberglass
compare.
Boats, but not our boats.
No, not our boats.
No. There is some cross pollination, if that's the right word. There has been companies over here like Whitley and Haynes Signature that have, and also originally Haynes Hunter. They all got into bed with each other and swapped molds.
Yep.
And they'll bring them over there. Ray Glass won another two or three awards. They win awards every year.
Yep.
The quality of the finish of that boat, Janot was there, your boat,
okay.
Charlie,
yeah.
That was there. And there was a couple of American boats like Wellcrafts and Grady White's.
Yep.
You know, they always stand out. But the quality of the Kiwi product is just insane. As I said, it's right up there. It really is. It's...
Now take you, because you are you vice president or you
vice
president of the BIAV? Take that hat off.
Yes.
Put Theo Razakis MY Marine hat on.
Yes.
Where does the Melbourne Boat Show sit compared to some of the boat shows that you've mentioned?
It stacks up very well. Melbourne Boat Show is a very professional, and I'm not saying it because I'm on the board, but
yeah, that's why I asked you to take that hat off.
It's Melbourne Boat Show. It's a very easy show A to get to because it's in town, and B it's a big hall, so it's easy to walk around the show, and it's indoors. Whereas the Hutch Wilco Boat Show, it had a big buzz about it. The Hutch Wilco Boat Show. Is a lot of it's outdoors. So if we were lucky over there, or they were lucky, they got really good weather. Like we were having early to mid-20s over there, weather-wise. It was quite warm through the day. But if you were to cop bad weather, again, think of Flemington. If you were
to cop bad weather,
it
would
the
wipe
show.
You.
Yeah.
Flemington, even Sandown, right?
Oh, shocking.
Okay?
Yeah.
You get a weekend of bad weather and you will wipe your... And they get about 35,000 people a year. The Melbourne Boat Show averages around 29,000-30,000. However, given the size of New Zealand and given the size of Australia and particularly Melbourne, we should be getting more than that. And that's one of my roles on the board
on
is
average.
To increase those numbers.
Yeah,
now, can I ask you obviously you know the guys at Surtees quite well.
Mm-hmm.
when you go to the Melbourne Boat Show, you normally sell boats. How do they go over there? Do they sell boats over there, or is that just an information?
No. Definitely, they're over there. They're like your, any manufacturer / retailer here in Melbourne. Over there, when I spoke to them post boat show, and they had sold something like 17, 18 boats. They've got a demo day due in 2 weeks' time, and they reckon that by the end of it, they would have sold over 40 boats.
Yeah, that's clever.
Yeah, now, that's clever. Two dealers, though, because Surtees is the manufacturer. They come up from the Bay of Plenty, which is about 2.5 hours south of Auckland.
Yep.
They come to Auckland, display with one of their key dealers from Auckland, so that's a joint exhibition, and they both sell boats. So they divvy up the North Island, and, anyone near Auckland, they'll obviously give it to their dealer. Anyone south of where they are, they've obviously got a border there somewhere.
Yeah, very good.
All right, we'll get our first reporter on the phone, and it's Tommy. How are you?
Evening, guys. Cold and wet. How are you?
Is it cold?
No. It's actually not too bad. It's actually pretty mild, considering.
Tommy, tell me you just don't have bassa fillets out of Indonesia. Some good Australian stuff there on your shelf, mate.
Anything we don't have, actually, and we're pretty proud of that.
Fantastic, mate. Love you for it.
Wouldn't even give it to the dog.
Yeah. Surprisingly, the fish supply has been pretty good, pretty consistent. The quality's been good too, so...
So we've been having a whinge, or Charlie's been having a whinge.
Gonna have a whinge
about the weather. Why not? Right? Absolutely caning his business, and it has an effect on all of us. We all feel it, even though I'm not selling boats and I'm selling cars. I still feel it because people don't sort of like to get out and about in this kind of weather. Well, how's this weather affecting you, mate? Are you like for A for supply and B for sort of people turning up?
Well, we cop it from both ends. We get the double barrel because it tightens up supply, which of course pushes the prices up, and it also slows down the customers. It's not really ideal weather for sitting out having a barbecue and having some prawns or a bit of fish. So
yeah, you bet.
I guess it works itself out though, because if the demand was still there, then the supply would really, really struggle. So when the supply slows down as much as it has now. It sort of balances itself out by the lack of demand for the product itself. So, but it's a tough time. Everything comes to a bit of a halt. But it happens at this time of year, and before we know it, it'll be hectic again.
Yeah.
So you've been going obviously in the mornings to the Melbourne Seafood Centre. Is there been much fish there?
No, look, there's been variety, but there just hasn't been massive amounts of anything.
Right.
Tommy, it's Theo here, mate. Has there been any effect with the new regulations that have kicked in, the license buyback? Have you sort of seen any effect, or is that too early to tell yet?
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, that sort of fish has just basically dried up almost completely.
So just for the purpose of our listeners, we're talking whiting, garfish, flathead, calamari.
Yep. Local stuff.
All the local stuff.
We're getting calamari through from South Australia and from Tassie.
Yep.
Haven't seen King George whiting since the buyback happened. Haven't seen rock flathead. Haven't seen pike. Haven't seen garfish. That type of thing. And the calamari that we have been getting from interstate, of course, they've been getting whatever price they want to get for it.
Mm. Yeah, of course, I can dictate that now. Tommy, tell me, I just lost my train of thought. Are there any licences still left in Melbourne at all that you know of?
Yeah. They've left seven hook and long line licences.
Yep.
There's also a couple of net licences that have decided rather than take the buyout now, they'll continue fishing for the next, I think, 7 years. Their quotas get reduced each year over the next 7 years, but they've decided that this is their way of life. They're ready to retire in 5 to 7 years anyway, so they're just going to see it out to the end.
Fair enough.
And as we know, it's not just a matter of just going fishing for these people. It was a way of life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what they know.
And, to have a situation, and we're not going to harp on too much about it, but it is important, to have a situation where we can't actually have our local seafood in shops like Tommy and in restaurants, it's just not right. It just doesn't sit right with me. So I still think, Theo, that things will change in the future. It will have to. All it needs, mate, is another election and a change of government, and then some new rules will come in. Simple as that. So, but it is a sad situation where you can't have Local seafood. Caught,
locally supplied
correct.
Fish.
And that's got nothing boys, to do with nets.
But, boys, I hear what you're saying, and I'm sorry, I have to disagree, Charlie, because unless there is some noise coming from this sector...
There will be.
A new election or a new electee will not make a difference to this rule. There has to be some noise coming from this sector so that the person who is chasing the votes realises that, hey, if I make a promise to change, and please, Tommy, interfere if I'm saying the wrong thing here, the person who is looking for the votes, unless he knows that by making a promise to change this law, he will win more votes, he won't touch it.
Spot
but
on.
But guys,
spot on.
Let's be realistic now, huh?
Spot on.
Who's going to make the noise? Because fish shows don't want the netters back. Come on, let's be honest.
That's the thing, right?
If Tommy's a friend of ours and we love him and we really enjoy when we can't go out fishing, personally, I'd rather go into his store. I know the food is fresh, it's clean, he's competitive, and I go in there and I know I've got good stuff. I'm not going to take it home. I'm going to open it up and I've got guests coming in half an hour. It's going to stink, right?
Yep.
That's Tommy's place on Franks and Dandenong Road. However, as fishos, all right, I mean, tell me if you say otherwise, because I know you guys are lying, that when we heard this was happening, mate, didn't you go, oh, man, how good's that? You know, as a fisherman, when all these netters get pulled out, our resource is going to go bang.
Yeah.
As a fisherman.
You have to.
So who's going
to
make the noise?
And that's one thing that I'm super proud of, Chuck, that I always tell it as it is. Yeah. And there was a part of me that said, unreal, there's going to be more fish in the sea.
You would.
But then there's the other part of me that knows Tommy and his family and Con, you know, and the people that rely on this. And I'm bleeding and I'm hurting for those people. Which part of me hurts more? I don't know.
So and then we've got to ask the question again, who's going to make the noise?
Mm.
Well, because there are only a very, very small group of commercial fishermen that have, unfortunately, their lives have been changed forever.
They'll
need to go, I don't know, who knows?
They'll have to do something. So, Tommy, what is there for our listeners to come down and grab if they want?
Well, we've got some beautiful mulloway from up north, which I'm going to be having for dinner pretty shortly.
So that's black jewfish up north, eh, mate?
Yeah, bit of that around. Got some nice kingies that have come over from South Australia.
Nice.
Plenty of the fresh Tassie salmon coming up from Tassie, of course. And then, other than that, it's the basics of the trawl fish and the lake's entrance fish. They've sort of managed to fish through a bit of this blow. So there's nice tiger flatties around. Price is still reasonable, not as low as we'd like it, but then again, it's not as high as what we thought it would be after this blow that we've had.
Any of my favourite fish down there, Tommy? You know what I like, the lychee and the gurnards?
Yeah, we've had a bit of the gurnard coming through.
Gurnard?
Latchet's not so much, but yeah, a few red gurnard.
I call them
lychees,
mate, which is a fruit.
Yeah, one of my favourite fruits.
I was waiting for
somebody
to pick up on that, but no one did.
I sort of thought about it, but I didn't want to touch it.
bit of feedback for you, Theo. I did some research on that Patagonian toothfish.
Oh,
that you
awesome!
Quizzed me about last time.
Yes.
Can't find anywhere that suggests that stuff's farmed in Western Australia. It's one of the deepest sea fish in the coldest water that you can possibly find.
That's what I couldn't understand. Can I just fill in the boys and the listeners, Tommy? Just I went to a restaurant and on the specials thing, they had a Patagonia toothfish.
Mm.
And I said to the girl, is this it actually said toothfish, and I said, is this Patagonian toothfish? She says, I don't know, I'll go ask the chef. So she came back and said, yes, it is. And I said, so it's imported in from Patagonia. She goes, I don't know. So then I asked my friend Tommy, she went away and came back. She goes, no, it's farmed from WA. Isn't that right, Tommy? I think I said that to you.
Yeah, that was the guy.
And
yeah.
I said to her, you sure? Because these fish are deep sea, cold water fish. How could they be farmed in Tassie, WA? She said, I don't know, sir, that's just where they're from. And I just thought, oh, well, look, it was yummy, it was delicious.
Mm.
But, you just don't know. You go into restaurants, they tell you you're eating something, but it's not really that.
Mm.
Always pays to ask, though.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And let me tell you, Theo will always ask, mate. If you're not done with that, can I have a go?
You finish with the head on nose, don't give it to me.
Fantastic.
The latest thing I heard is that actually now, as they do with gummy sharks, for example, Tommy, you know, they've got to say it's gummy shark, etc.
Yep.
I'm not sure whether it's through yet, but they're saying fillet of fish, fish that are filleted, has to be labelled.
Yep. Well, they're working on it. Yeah. They're working very hard on that.
The laws are changing. If you've seen all the ads on TV, they're going to have clear packaging. It's got to say exactly where it's from, what the percentage of it is Australian, what percentage is it overseas products. I mean, that's good. That's good.
Of course,
for the
it is long and long overdue.
Yeah.
All right, mate. We're going to let you go. We'll talk to you next week.
Great to talk to you. And any of the listeners that want to come and give us a visit, we're at the Big Fish Market. On Frankston Dandy Road and Astor Avenue in Carrambeans.
Fantastic, mate.
Love your work, Tommy.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, guys. Catch you soon.
Very good. Now we've got to take a break.
Yep.
And then when we come back, we're going to see if we can get Dallas. Now, we haven't got much to talk about in the way of fishing, so we're going to sort of look forward. We're going to move the clock or the timing, you know. So,
well, hang on. You're right. We don't have too much to do
fishing. We went out the other day, and what happened?
Nothing.
We went out there.
Got blown out.
They said it was going to be light and calm. We got blown out.
Yeah. So Theo, your business goes through phases through the year.
That's right.
And you've just come back from the NZ Boat Show, obviously, to go and visit your supplier, your main supplier, etc., and see what's going on, competition, etc., so forth. What are you doing this time of the year? Because people can't be buying too many boats right now.
Oh, well, look, it's funny because we do go through, you know, different stages. At this time of the year, we're very close to boat show. So in terms of new boats, a lot of people holding off and waiting. And fair enough, too. They're waiting for boat show, which is around the 17th of next month, right?
Yep. So any big surprises coming for the boat show without letting us know?
There's a couple of new models, both from our point of view, M1 Marine's point of view, from Stabycraft and also from Surtees.
Yep.
But we're now very busy. We're still doing servicing and so forth. For those that are going to Portland, I got a guy rang me today and he was trying to get his boat in because he wants to go to Portland because there's a break in the weather this weekend. And if you guys have seen, it's dropping down and Saturday it's going to be down to under 10 knots.
Still going to be 5 metre seas.
Yeah, it'll be 5 metre seas. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? Break in the weather, shoot down to Portland. Or Warrnambool or wherever it is they're going to go. So they want their boat service. So we're busy. And that's the great thing about our resource now is that we're not just shutting down after snapper season.
Yeah.
Everyone's now looking at kingy fishing. We've one of the best whiting seasons in Port Phillip Bay that I remember for a long, long time. Calamari all year round. So go out, get a great feed of fish. Also put some away for bait if you want to, but they don't make it to bait for me. They end up in my hand one way or another.
Same.
Great. So extended seasons. And then, so we're preparing also now, all our stocks has either turned up or is turning up for the boat show.
Now you got, I don't want you to mention exactly what it is unless you want to, but you got a cracking boat that you've got that's going to hit your stand. That's going to be there for people to look at. I've never seen one. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, this boat you've mentioned, Dean, and sorry to interrupt you, actually it's been on the card since January. I've had it ordered. It's a sole boat, but we have been lucky enough for the owner to allow us to take it to the boat show. It is going, I'm not going to tell you a great deal. All I'm going to tell you is that it's 7.5 metres. It is going to have the best electronic gear that you can think of. It is going to be exceptionally well fitted out. It is going to be an absolute cracker, and it'll be on display at the Melbourne Boat Show between the 17th and the 20th of June.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Yeah, really.
You're in
wait
the middle, I think. Or looking at the plans, or just close to
yeah,
the middle.
Yeah, we're in the middle. Yeah. You know, we've been obviously working with the boat show. We've been mucking around a little bit to make sure everyone's happy. But Dean, you know, you've got a great little Jeep stand next to us, and as we. Again, can complete the story between Jeep and Surtees and Stabycraft and basically any boat.
Yep. Now, Did you boys see that Facebook post?
We did. It's actually on our wall. I think I put it on our wall.
Oh, yes. Very funny.
Who did that?
Sent to me, right? Yeah. Actually, Gwayne sent it to me and another guy sent it to me and I couldn't sort of, I couldn't listen to it when I got it, right? So I've just clicked on it and I've got the volume turned right down and I see the... Because it's a scene from Jaws, right? And I see him backing into the cabin. Then I see the little boy's face on his head.
That's hilarious. You know, can I just say something? My daughter, Alexandra, right? Like, ever since she was a little kid, she's never seen the movie Jaws.
Wow.
But we would go swimming in the water and I'd muck around and play and I'd do the da-da, da-da. And she'd go, "Daddy, don't." And I said, "Why?" And she goes, "I hate that kind of sound that you make. It's horrible. Don't. It scares me." I said, "Well, have you seen that movie?" And she goes, "What movie?" She's never seen Jaws, yet she hates that.
Mate, it was 1975. Remember it very well. At the pictures there, and that's when I bought Bruce, and it frightened the absolute crap out of me when I saw that movie.
Can I just say something, guys? My first job ever in the marine industry was when I was 18 years old. I got a job at a dealership here on the corner of Frankston, Flinders Road and Moorock Highway. It was called, I forget what it was called, but I worked with a guy, his name was Alan Day, who was, he had more awards in his office than I could care to think of, offshore racing. Oh. But he was also a very, very renowned diver. And he had actually been involved with some of the footage
that
they had gotten, real underwater footage. Because there's actually one scene, if anyone remembers the movie Jaws, where a great white actually got caught in the ropes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's real.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was shot by that guy I used to work for, Alan Day. That's right. It was called Southern Cross Marine.
It was an amazing movie. Yeah. Now,
I can tell the two of you, I've been privileged enough to go to Amity, I've actually met Jaws.
Did you see the girl in bikinis?
No, there's no girls in bikinis there, but there is a diver who, I swear to God, I don't know how he survives. He keeps getting attacked every single day.
Yeah,
he keeps bleeding to death every single day, but he seems to be... up
now,
and going.
One bloke.
And I have met Jaws, by the way, boys.
One bloke that knows how to cook shark.
Yep.
Lot of different ways. It's Peter. How are you?
Don't, man. You're scaring me. You're freaking me out, dude.
Hey, gentlemen. How are we?
How are you, Pete?
Now, I've been looking at Facebook and, you know, you've been popping up here and doing that. So.
Now, hang on a sec. Now, I'm not sure if my wife and my son and my beautiful daughter-in-law are listening to this, but this guy, guys, that is about to talk is the guy that I'm talking about. I want to have a function at my joint.
Pretty
and
good.
I want Pete to do it for us. So this is the guy. Have a listen to some of the food that he's going to talk about.
So what I know you've been popping up doing various different things. Firstly, let's just start with what have you been doing?
Mate, I'll tell you what, haven't I? Look, everything's seafood. And I think that's the wonderful thing about my life. And, you know, people ask the question, what do you do? And I say, you know what, I'm just living the dream. And, like, for example, today, part of the Executive Chefs Club, we had the finals at Judge there, judging some of the best chefs in the country.
What kind of food?
They were actually using Hiramatsu kingfish.
Yep.
And the amazing thing about it, the top executive chefs around the country who came, and here's one, because without being biased, but out of Australia, the top five from first to fifth, four of them came from Victoria, the top chefs in the country.
Mm. Unreal. Are you allowed to say from where?
Well, put it this way. No, actually, I'm not going to say that. There will be a press release that will come out tomorrow and Monday. The rest of it will come out. But it's great to see. I mean, if you love football,
not
the big ground, the next one.
Yeah.
Get a medallion club. That's all I can say.
Very good. Awesome. So I noticed that you were down at the Melbourne Seafood Centre the other day and you posted something, Living the Dream. What was that in preparation for this or...?
No, actually, well, see, in my normal job, I had the privilege of actually working with some of the best chefs in the country.
Yeah.
One of them, I don't know if you know this guy, Sean Pressland.
No, I can't say I do.
He's probably one of the best sashimi chefs in Australia. He started up Barke restaurant.
Yeah.
Around about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
One outstanding chef. But I actually, what I'm starting to do is take chefs down to the Melbourne Seafood Centre and show them the beautiful produce that we actually have.
Yeah.
And just by doing that, it inspires them to see, you know, what's down there. And when I took Sean down there and he just saw some butterfish, and I was just like, you know, what can I do with that? When you see the snapper, the flathead, you know, it really just starts to stir up those senses of creativity and what you can actually do.
Mm.
And so going down there, so I'm basically down there on a weekly basis at the moment.
Yeah.
Starting to take chefs down there and get them to realise how lucky we are and what kind of produce that they can work with when it comes to seafood.
Mm. Amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Now, Peter, you're preparing also for the Melbourne Boat Show, yourself, Con Panayiotis and Charlie Micallef.
Yeah, look, really looking forward to that. Once again, I mean, getting to the outdoors, you know, it's about respecting what you actually drag out of the ocean, you know, with whatever you go out to catch, bring it back, respect it, keep it really, really simple, and just sit back and enjoy life. I mean, that's what it's meant to be about. And I think when we go to something like the boat show, to actually get up on stage and do that, and the knowledge that Charlie's got it's off the charts. It's amazing. Con, really, the passion there gets behind it, and with myself, just, you know, woohoo, have a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's fantastic, mate. You know, it's great. I love the philosophy. You know, respect the predator and respect the resource. Look after your catch. We were talking about that earlier on in the show, and it's just so important, mate, because, you know, a lot of people, they don't know how to do that. And it's surprising because I worked with a lot of chefs, Peter, that really don't know a great deal about seafood and didn't know a great deal about how to actually prepare seafood. And the worst thing you can do to seafood, and correct me if I'm wrong, mate, is actually just overcook it and overkill it with everything. Seafood should be enjoyed, you know, virtually with the bare essentials. Well, that's my opinion. But anyway.
And I love how you say that, because I say this all the time. Yes, it is my opinion, and everyone's got their own opinion. And I so agree with you that a lot of the up-and-coming chefs need to learn more about seafood and how to actually take a whole fish and really cut that fish down, use the bones, you know, use them for stocks, and just all these different varietals that you can use with a fish. And it's not just used for one dish. You can use it for so many different things.
Mm. Yeah, well, I can vouch for one thing, that the man sitting next to me certainly does not waste a square inch of fish. I mean, I've gone out and I've caught, I don't know, whether it's a gummy shark or whether it's a snapper or whatever the case may be, and he'll always ask me, what did you do with this? What did you do with that? Have you still got this? Have you still got that? Have you still got the whitings? Have you got this? And he uses every square centimetre of that fish. And mate, he enjoys it. So I reckon you two guys would get on like a house on fire, to be quite honest, because you sound like you're from a very, very similar mould. So
my goal, and I'll discuss this with Con one day, is to go down to a ramp during the middle of November.
Yeah.
Any ramp. And just sit there with a hot plate and a barbecue, and just as someone's about to throw away a snapper frame or wings or whatever it is after they've done a fillet job, which most of the time is I've got to say it's pretty average, I would like to just sit there with some very basic stuff like olive oil, lemon juice, salt, pepper, and just sit there and just let the smell just absolutely blow them away and not give them one little bit. And just sit there and eat it and have all my mates with a glass of beer. Just say, mate, do you like that smell? Hey, do you like? Here, why don't you try a little bit? No, you can't have any. Yeah. I would just love to do that.
And that's ideal. And, you know, the other thing is as well, and I had this conversation today, it's the sea urchin. Charlie knows where I'm coming through. I mean, I love sea urchin, and only I got back from Adelaide. Adelaide last week after spending 9 days over there doing Taste Australia. And the amazing thing is we had some beautiful Coffin Bay sea urchin.
Mm.
And just to stand around an open fire, just the back of the knife, crack it, open it, and just eat the roe. Oh, my God. When it's
with a little
fresh,
bit of pastadura bread, mate?
No way. Not an ounce. Just the whole thing. Just bam, bam, gone.
I just finished doing the edit, because that's all I've been doing, because it has been windy. So I've been editing the Australian Seafood. So we're going all right at the moment. We're getting a few shows, buddy. One of the shows was all about sea urchin. And then we went down and did the abalone one on the beach. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was brilliant.
That came up really well. But the reason I bring up the urchin is because it was this time, Theo. So they're full. The roe is full now, winter time.
I tell you, the flavour of sea urchin, have you guys ever tried?
Yeah, I have.
I remember as a kid being seven years old, and we're in the Greek islands, you know, holidaying with my family, and, you know, with my father, we're going around collecting them and opening them up, and exactly what you said, Pete.
Yep.
Just, you know, cut the top off, turn it upside down, get rid of any shell that might have fallen in, and just putting your finger in there and just wrapping your finger around, getting that roe out. But knowing what urchins, you know, you need to know which urchins to pick up.
Yeah, of course.
And just absolutely, just something else. It is a delicacy. It really is, and it's one of the fruits of the sea. It really is.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
All right, mate. We'll let you go. Thanks for that. Like I said, the editing is going well, so we will be on air in another month, I reckon.
Beautiful. Yeah. Love your work, mate.
All right. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, gentlemen, take care.
See you, Pete.
Thank you so much.
Good on you.
Bye.
Cheers.
There's Pete. Pete from Pete's, well, Pete's Hilke, Kitchen, yep, or whatever you want to talk.
Yep.
Has he got his own restaurant?
No. He works at a lot of restaurants.
Okay, yep.
But he moves around a lot. Yep. He gets to meet a lot of people. And as you know, in life, the more people you meet, the more you learn, you know.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the boat show. And we're going to be up there doing, and I think we'll be cooking squid, I'd say.
Yep.
That probably something simple.
Well, you're there for 4 days, so you know you've got a few things to do.
I'd be expecting lunch for 4 days, mate. Yeah. So
we'll have lunch for you, buddy.
I hope you're not going to be doing squid every day. I'll get pretty sick of it by day four.
Probably not. But the main thing from the boat show's point of view, for the Manet, it's been very difficult because we have to get these permits, and nothing's easy anymore, as you know.
But you got to get a permit if you're going to cook food for people, but you're not cooking food for people. You're just cooking it for yourselves. You're showing people how
to cook. We still have to get a permit.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately. We had to make sure that the plate was right, for example. We had to have a fire extinguisher and a blanket, and guess what? My boat's there. Mm-hmm. So that's easy. No problem. Mm-hmm. The fire extinguisher and the blanket's right next to the stage on my boat. Just a few things that we got to sort out, but it should be okay. But you got to make sure you do the right thing, you know, by management.
I was on about you, but all this talk about seafood and food and delicacy and fruits of the sea is always making me really hungry.
We should go and get something.
Well, speaking about food, mate, I'm about to go home and have my nice frozen meal.
Yeah, we were talking before about, I said to you, let's go out and get some sushi.
Yep.
And you said, no, I can't. My beautiful wife's cooked my meal.
No, she hasn't cooked my meal.
It's prepared or whatever?
I'm on the light and easy. That's what I am.
So tell us about that.
It's just a calorie counted, dietary program that, mate, seriously, we got onto it because it's just easy. It really
who
is.
Who works out the calories? So is that Nikki?
They count it. Nikki, who's my trainer, my personal trainer, she put me on a diet, and then she said, you know what? She goes, judging by your lifestyle, you'll never be able to prepare this food. She goes, just go and buy the light and easy food. It'll do the same job.
Is it good though?
Well, it seems to be all right.
Tasty.
It's a lot fresher than they used to be. They used to have a lot of artificial stuff that went into it, but they are using a lot of fresh food nowadays. And I can tell you my wife's doing it, and my wife would not eat it if it was artificial.
Oh, really? She's eating it too?
Yeah, it's just easy, okay. Chuck.
So tell me, from a financial point of view now, is it dearer? Is it same? Do you know?
Mate, it costs us just under $200 a week for the two of us.
Okay.
That's not bad. When you consider you go out and...
And
that's groceries, right? Sometimes you'll go out and spend $200 on groceries and then you still got to buy lunch or you still got to buy a dinner or whatever.
So is that like fruit?
Everything, mate.
So that $200
yep.
is everything?
All I need is milk and water.
And of course, you've got to buy the right farmer's milk, support our farmers.
I know a lot of people that are on it, and people have busy lifestyles, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what? And honestly, you know, it's how easy it is to come home and say, you know what, I can't be bothered cooking and go fast food.
We had the same conversation. Ange and I had the same conversation last night, mate, where we said, how easy is this? I'm on the way home. Babe, can you stick one in the microwave for me? I'll be there in 15 minutes. Just wait 5 and bang it in the microwave for me.
Yeah.
I get home, there's a meal ready to go.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And
well, we're going to follow this. We're going to see how you go.
Well, I've been on it now for a week and a half, and I've lost four and a bit kilos, and I've lost 3 centimetres all the way around. Jeez. So, but I'm training as well. Yeah. I've got Nikki's putting through a pretty hectic training.
Now, we've only got a few minutes left. We're going to finish off with the boat show.
Yep.
Theo, back to you.
Yeah, mate.
Do you know any units you're actually taking this year?
About probably 23, 24.
Wow, that's a massive... That's a massive.
It's a
job.
Big haul. Look, yeah, I dread it, because it's big. But you know what, mate? We do it every year. Once I'm in there,
into the routine.
Meet a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people come on the stand. We sell boats, and you know what? It's for me. It's the hump, because once I get over this hump, I'm now looking forward to spring.
Do you find also too? Because I have that. It's also good. You see the same people that you haven't seen from last year, you know, like your catch-up sort of thing.
And that's the problem, because sometimes I do see a lot of friends and people from the show that want to come and say g'day. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, I don't want to be rude. I try and have a balance, but I'm there to do a job.
You're still working, correct.
Well, mate, thanks for coming
in. And you do work hard. I've watched you go.
We will be seeing you at the boat show, because it's not far away.
It's 4 weeks away.
Yeah. So, Rizakis. Thank you for coming on board. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on board every day.
It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you very much for allowing me to come on.
Dino, Jackie, another good show.
Good to see you, mate.
Considering we haven't been out fishing.
We got through it.
Maybe next week.
Oh, yeah.
We just might be out.
Maybe.
Have we got time to finish off with Renegade? No.
That's it.
Thanks, guys.
We're done.